Heroin is pervasive in Clatsop County. The same is probably true of the Long Beach Peninsula and Tillamook County. The Daily Historian recently published a two-part series on heroin. We'll start today's show with Tyler Graff, our reporter who wrote the series. Then we'll visit with Detective Mike Smith, who supervises Clatsop County's anti-narcotics officers. Our closing discussion will be with District Attorney Josh Marquis. Well, Tyler, I won't welcome you to After Deadline because you work just right outside the window of our little recording studio here. But what drew you to the topic of the heroin trade in Clatsop County?
Well, thanks for having me. Usually I'm on the other end doing the questioning. What drew me to the topic was just having a series of conversations with deputies and over at the sheriff's office and the sheriff himself about what the top problems were in Clatsop County in terms of what law enforcement had to focus on. And this happened during the jail discussion, actually, when the county was proposing expanding the jail beyond the current size that it is right now. And the topic that kept coming up was heroin and drug use in Clatsop County. A figure that the sheriff likes to cite is that something like 75% of everybody who's incarcerated over at the jail is there because of a drug-related offense. Now, it might not be possession or distribution, but a lot of people are there because of drugs. And you know,
because they committed a crime
exactly.
to get the drugs, to pay for the drugs.
Yeah. So that kept coming up, and I was curious about the numbers, how many drug-related or how many arrests were drug-related in the year. And those were sent over to me. I put in a request for those, and those were passed along. And numbers can sometimes lie, but in this case, they certainly did not lie. Or they told their own story. And so that was very telling, and it piqued my interest and made me want to delve a little bit further into the topic.
Mm-hmm. What was the most difficult challenge in writing this series?
I think the most difficult challenge was probably finding somebody who is on the rebound, who is trying to kick the habit and kick the addiction and change his or her life. I was able to do that, but it took some time to find somebody who was willing to put me in touch with somebody else who might want to talk to me, and then convincing them that I'm not out there to make him look bad. I'm out there to really tell a story, to show people what can happen and how easy it is to fall into an addiction if you already have certain personality traits maybe, mm-hmm. or you live a certain lifestyle, or even if you don't. So I think that was probably the most challenging aspect of the story.
And that was Stephen Aiken, who spoke on the record and is photographed in the mm-hmm. in the article as well.
Yeah. I mean, there were certain parts of the story, of his story, that he didn't want to tell or didn't want to go into a whole lot of detail mm-hmm. about, which is understandable, I suppose.
Sure.
But he did open up about his life, the fact that he has a daughter. He hasn't seen his daughter in a while because he's been in jail. And he's been in treatment, but now that he is clean, hopefully, I've checked with him in the last couple of weeks. But now that he's on that road to recovery, he hopes to bring her back into his life, get another job, really put his life together. And it's something that I think a lot of people they're not accustomed to seeing. It's something that's hidden. This sort of piecemeal way of reconstructing a life after it's been kind of shattered by addiction.
Yeah. One of the points that sort of shouts in your series, and I've forgotten who said it, but which one of your sources, but that heroin hits all parts of the socioeconomic scale.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. This is something that came up both from the sheriff and also from District Attorney Josh Markey, that there are people out there in this community who are rather well-to-do, rather wealthy people who have these addictions, or they have sons or daughters who have these problems. It's not necessarily something that that affects only poorer people or people who are unemployed. A lot of people are employed or they do work regularly and they have these problems. And I thought that was a very telling point.
Yeah. Well, when we come back from our break, Tyler will join me in questioning Detective Mike Smith, who supervises Clatsop County's anti-narcotics officers. If you've just joined us, our topic today is the special series on heroin that the Daily Historian published. We spoke with Tyler Graff, who wrote that series, and now we're going to talk with Mike Smith, who is he supervises Clatsop County's anti-narcotics officers. Welcome to After Deadline, Mike.
Thank you.
Tell us about your background. How long have you been with the Sheriff's Department?
I've been with the Sheriff's Office for just over 13 years. I spent the first 4 years working in the jail and corrections. After that, I went out on patrol with the Sheriff's Office. I spent about 4 years, 4.5 years on patrol, and then I spent the next 3 years working major crimes, major persons crimes with the Sheriff's Office, part of the major crime team. And then I was assigned as the group supervisor of the Clatsop County Drug Task Force.
Did something draw you to the drug assignment, or was it simply assigned to you?
Well, I applied for it. The draw to the dealing with drug crimes, the nature of it branches out into so many other different crimes, and all of law enforcement, I think, sees that. And I think it's important to bring that to the surface so that the public can see the importance of combating drug crimes.
Yeah. In Tyler's series, he quotes you as saying, talking about sort of the nature of pursuing the heroin trade, that it's kind of like whack-a-mole, the game of whack-a-mole, where you knock one mole down into the ground, another one pops up somewhere else.
When you're taking out, when you're making these big drug busts, that inevitably there are other people in the county, other dealers in the county, or other users in the county that you need to shift your attention to once you take down a number of people. I mean, is that more or less the case?
Yeah, it seems that there's always somebody that can step into that, fill that role as a supplier.
And actually, that kind of brings up one of the questions that I had. That there was the major bust a couple of weeks back, where more than 20 individuals who were involved with drugs were arrested in Seaside at a compound, a couple of other houses. One issue that's come up since then has been the fact that some of these people have been released from jail since then, so I'm just curious how much of a dent in drug use or in how prevalent drugs are in the county does a bust like that make?
I think it causes a severe interruption in the not just the supply but the mode of supply, the mechanism, causes a large disruption. There's a lot of people that were continuing to try to buy heroin and methamphetamine from the suppliers that we had arrested.
Are your attentions now in another direction in the county?
Well, kind of the way I view it is going to be like a three-pronged approach. You've got your major suppliers who are responsible for bringing the bulk of the heroin and methamphetamine into the county. You've got the mode of delivery, the network, which is what we saw in that large bust. And then the third prong, what I would like to see is If you can interrupt the first two, that you can prevent new new addicts, new potential people from becoming addicted to the substance by making it difficult interrupting it and generally taking it off the street.
Yeah. Now, this was something that Steve asked me, was that heroin in particular, whether that was a drug that was simply used by a certain segment of the population, or whether or not it was sort of a universal thing, or what do you see?
Well, what we've seen is, especially in a younger generation that has been exposed to pain pills, being opiate-based, Oxycontin, hydrocodone, methadone, these types of drugs, which are fairly readily available. Kids are finding them in their parents' medicine cabinets, old prescriptions that maybe aren't being disposed of or thrown away. And they are opiates, and they create an addiction just like heroin does. And they've made changes in the design of the pills, the makeup of them, makes them more difficult to smoke, to crush up and snort, and so forth. It's easy to be introduced to a pill that's prescribed by a doctor, comes from a legitimate pharmacy for a legitimate purpose. Once it's no longer being used and it's stolen, then it can be abused. Whereas, you know, most young people wouldn't imagine putting a needle in their arm, and it's, you know, it's kind of grotesque. Mm-hmm. Yeah. However, once you create that opium addiction, the next step is, and we've seen this a fair amount, where you'll take down a heroin dealer, and they will have a supply of pills. And I believe that they're using those pills to create the addiction so that they can roll over their clients into the more harder heroin.
Mm. Yeah. It's like a starter drug.
Yes.
If you will.
Now, you mentioned how some people find using a needle to be grotesque. I find that pretty telling, too, because when I was talking to the former addict, although who knows whether or not he'll go back to using, Steve Nakin, he was reticent to say how he used heroin. And when you talk to former users or addicts, is that typically the case? Is there a sense of embarrassment about using heroin or how they use it?
Well, I think there's definitely a stigma with the needle. Heroin can also be smoked, and we're finding that to be really common, especially in this younger generation. It appears, though, eventually, once they get past the stigma of heroin altogether, they're smoking it, that the more efficient way to use it is to use a needle.
We're used to images of hyper-violence out of Mexico, where the drug cartel there is, or the Mexican government is pursuing the drug cartel there. And at times past here in Clatsop County, when there have been major busts of, I guess, meth rings out of Mexico, weapons were part of what was taken down, weapons, cash, and drugs. How violent or potentially violent is the heroin trade?
I think it's just as potentially violent. There is a difference in some of the dynamics in the way that the supply comes here and the way it's distributed. That may be some of the appearances as far as finding weapons and so forth. Used to find the dealers were closer to the source in the past, especially with methamphetamine. Now what you're finding in our communities, and this is kind of the scary part of it, is once you've got this dependent on the opiates, somebody who's addicted to that substance, that becomes their goal. Everything they do from every waking moment is focused on getting that substance into their system. And with opiates, the best way to do that appears to be, it's almost kind of like I would describe it as being like a pyramid scheme. It all comes back to money. The focus is money, and that's where your violence comes from. Your violence comes from money. It's not from the substance itself necessarily. The whole motivating factor, the reason it's created, is all money. But back to the pyramid scheme within our communities, is what we're seeing is you might have somebody who's addicted to the opiate, and what they will do is they will either use pills or heroin itself, and they will create They might have 6, 8, 9, 10 people who they around them that they can get addicted on the substance, and that helps keep them in the chain. That way, the fringe benefit is that you get your own heroin along with it. They're not making money off of it, but they're keeping their habit. And then, of course, those addicts that are down below them in that pyramid scheme at some point have to keep themselves in heroin, and then they have to create their own network of people underneath them. And that's what we've been seeing. And that's it kind of spreads like wildfire when you look at it that way.
Now, are there cartels operating in Clatsop County, or is it mainly just coming up through the highways and then dispersing through the small-time dealers?
Well, I can't really discuss whether there's cartels in the community, but it is being produced and brought into the area from outside.
Okay.
And the money's going out.
We've been talking with Mike Smith, who supervises Clatsop County's anti-narcotics officers. When we come back from our break, we'll close our show with a discussion with District Attorney Josh Marquis. We'll resume our discussion of heroin in Clatsop County with the Chief Law Enforcement Official, District Attorney Josh Marquis. Josh, when did heroin become so pervasive in Clatsop County?
Well, it's come in waves, really. I mean, in the 19 years I've been here, this is probably the second or third time we've seen a resurgence of it, probably most recently within the last year or so.
And why is that? Why is there a resurgence?
I think it's a combination of things. Sometimes it's the expense of other drugs of abuse, such as cocaine, or the difficulty of getting methamphetamine, the ability to reduce the access to methamphetamine has driven drug users, although the drug is totally different to other drugs of abuse. There's also the problem with some narcotics, which were obtainable more easily, became way too expensive, and heroin is much less expensive. So people move from so-called legitimate opiates to heroin.
What are the expensive alternatives?
Well, it's not uncommon for someone to, let's say, break a limb or have surgery and be prescribed an opiate narcotic such as oxycodone, or in its time-release form, OxyContin, which is well known. OxyContin's a relatively expensive drug, and unfortunately also can be quite abused. And some people, that's where some people start. Other people just use it to abuse it because they get a high off of it.
Mm-hmm. The Interagency Drug Task Force recently cracked a heroin-selling organization that was based in Seaside, and it arrested 24 suspects. Was that collection of heroin traffickers typical of what's going on in the drug world here, or was it a rarity?
Unfortunately, it was fairly typical. This is just probably one of the largest ones. There have been at least two or three of these sort of larger groups of what I would call mid-level dealers. Many of these dealers are addict dealers. Now, I can't talk about the individual cases. They haven't gone to trial yet, so it would be unfair to presume them guilty. But unfortunately, many of the people sort of fit the same profile.
In the case of meth, there have been some takedowns of the tentacle or the end of the tentacle of a traffic going all the way back to Mexico, most notably a few years ago in the apartment house right across the street from our newspaper. At that time, I believe as part of that arrest, a sort of the equivalent of a corporate vice president of the cartel was here. Is this the same kind of thing?
Some of it is, yes. I mean, heroin is not grown in Oregon.
Yeah.
Heroin comes from just only a couple places in the world, in Burma, Myanmar, Laos, Afghanistan, and some parts of South America. So it has to be turned from opium into morphine to diacetylmorphine, which is heroin. So that means it has to be trafficked. And so the short answer to your question is yes, it is trafficked along some of the same spokes and hubs of a business model that operates largely out of Mexico.
Okay. So that it's fair to assume those 24 who were arrested in Seaside were at least loosely part of that organization.
I don't know. They may have been. They're probably at the low end of the distribution chain. you know, the drug trafficking cartels, you know, they'll switch between drugs very nimbly, between methamphetamine, cocaine, and heroin, depending on sort of, you know, what does the market bear. And they've figured out a way to basically operate sort of like Southwest Airlines does. I'm sure they wouldn't like the comparison, where you have what they call a spoke and hub wheel, where you make sure that you never have too much of your product in any one place at a time, and you find out what your market is and then move it. That way, if anybody gets arrested, they're never arrested with that much product or that much money. And under Oregon state law, the penalties for possession are almost non-existent. I checked, Steve. There are over 14,000 people in the Oregon State Penitentiary. 34 of them are there for possession of drugs. So you don't go to prison in Oregon for possession of drugs.
Mm-hmm. Is the Federal Drug Enforcement Administration, DEA, is it in touch with the interagency task force here? Does it
send them
clues as to what's happening?
They do. Usually not at a level that I mean, it's sort of a need-to-know basis, and I don't generally need to know exactly what they're doing. I know that they operate very actively in what's called the diversion area, which is a whole separate, which is physicians or medical personnel for which there's a problem. But DEA usually has the bigger picture in mind, and they can usually tell when drugs are being moved. And yes, they're in active communication with the interagency narcotics team.
Tyler Graff reported in his two-part special report on heroin that there are 3 to 4 Clatsop County heroin overdoses in a year, and that there are probably more. What's the difficulty in knowing how many heroin overdoses occur annually?
Well, heroin metabolizes into morphine in the body, and so we don't always know whether when someone dies, sometimes it's from multiple drugs. So trying to identify heroin as the sole cause. Basically, heroin will kill somebody because it basically depresses their respiratory system to the point they simply stop breathing. We have probably an equal problem with methadone, which is a chemical synthetic so-called legal opiate, which is often used to substitute, but also used as a long-term anti-pain medication. We have one of the highest rates of methadone overdose in the country in Oregon, and among the highest in Oregon in Clatsop County.
What would be your estimate of all drug overdoses in Clatsop County in a year?
Oh, well, I see every unusual death report, so my guess would be at least 15 or 20.
Uh-huh.
Some of them might be classified as suicides. Most of them are clearly accidental. I mean, when you're using a product that is not pharmaceutical, heroin mostly comes in what's called black tar. It's a really disgusting looking substance that looks like what it sounds like. You have no idea what, you know, it's not like going to the pharmacy and getting, you know, 325 milligrams of aspirin. You have no idea whether you're getting 95% pure or 5%. So you might be taking 20 times the dose that you were taking yesterday, which will kill you.
Well, the number you mentioned, I think 12 to 15, something like that,
yeah,
annually. Is that high for a county of this population?
Yes. I mean, we do have – I've talked to, you know, other counties around here. Columbia is almost exactly our size. Tillamook's a little bit smaller, although they have the problems. Lincoln County. There are things about coastal communities and resort communities. People come over here to party, which unfortunately sometimes means using drugs, and sometimes those people use too many of them and overdose.
Mm. Two things we hear about the local heroin trade are startling, that it's hitting all points on the socioeconomic spectrum, of course, but also that adolescents are using it.
That's what I understand. I mean, I find this kind of shocking. I've heard, this is anecdotally, that there's even been needles and syringes found, and there's an area above the high school. I'd be kind of shocked to hear that, but unfortunately, I think when I was in college, you know, heroin was really demonized. I mean, just the idea of using a needle, let alone heroin, and that's sort of that's gone away, probably with the popularization of methamphetamine and cocaine, and also the fact that injecting a drug makes it far, far more powerful. It just the user gets a much, much greater rush out of whatever drug they're taking.
How does How does heroin compare to alcohol in terms of the intersection with crime and what your office deals with?
Well, generally speaking, 75% to 80% of all crime that we all that deal with in law enforcement is substance abuse related. We usually don't make a distinction between legal substances like alcohol and illegal like heroin. I think alcohol is still probably a much bigger problem than heroin. I mean, clearly the number of alcohol abusers in Clatsop County greatly outweighs the number of heroin users. But I think people are becoming shocked to find how many people are using heroin and how prevalent it is. I was surprised. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised how cheap it's getting. I mean, that also dictates its use.
It's been common to view methamphetamines as kind of a death sentence. That is, once you use it, meth becomes a virtual trap because the user seeks an unreachable high. Is heroin more addictive or less addictive than meth?
Well, you needed to probably talk to a doctor rather than a lawyer about that. But
yeah,
my understanding is that heroin is extraordinarily physically addictive. However, it's possible. I mean, there is help. There are ways to detoxify and be cured from opiate addiction that, frankly, are much more difficult with methamphetamine. For example, I can remember people coming up to myself and Sheriff Bergen after one of the drug summits and giving the sheriff a hug and saying, thank you, you saved my life. If it wasn't for that 2 weeks in jail, I never would have detoxed. Well, they're usually talking about heroin or something. Methamphetamine often takes months. And so just locking somebody up for 2 weeks is probably not going to even detoxify them off the drug.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We commonly associate meth users with desperate crimes that they commit to obtain the money to buy more meth. Does that same measure of desperation come with heroin users?
Well, there's a difference in one sense. I mean, a person using heroin per se is probably going to go to sleep or nod off. They're not going to be inherently dangerous. However, if they desperately need heroin and they're in withdrawal, they'll probably do anything to get it. The difference is with methamphetamine, the methamphetamine itself will trigger psychotic and enraged states, and people will commit crimes because of the methamphetamine use itself. So in that sense, I suppose, I mean, it's hard to say which drug is worse. Methamphetamine probably causes more crimes out of the use of it, and heroin probably causes crimes for the desire of it, if you will.
We commonly associate alcohol with domestic violence. Is meth in that department?
Oh, absolutely. Methamphetamine, causes paranoia, causes people to imagine things, particularly in, you know, intimate relationships that are not true, and can frequently trigger psychosis and cause delusions in ways that almost no other drug can.
Last question. You've got these 24 suspects arrested. How does that proceed now? That's a lot of people.
Well, they'll each be assigned an attorney. The cases will go to the grand jury if they – I think they already have been to the grand jury, where the grand jury determines whether there's enough evidence. And then most of the case – many of them may be offered the opportunity to go to drug court, which is to avoid a – depending on if they don't have a previous record or even sometimes when they do, the opportunity to go into Judge Nelson's essentially high-volume, high-intensity treatment court. The ones with bad records theoretically face the possibility of jail, and depending on what their record is, they for delivery, they could go to prison.
Okay. Well, Josh Markey, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.